Good morning, and welcome to Words from the Honeycomb with Joanna Eccles. Today, we're going to be talking about the Romans Road. And you may go, why are we suddenly transporting ourselves to Italy? But actually, it's a way to share the gospel with people. And I want to equip you to be able to do that. Have you ever wanted to share the gospel but just didn't know where to start? Well, we're going to talk about that today. Because my last podcast, which was about overcoming concerns about sharing the gospel, it encouraged people to tell others about Jesus. And now I want to equip you with different ways to do that. In my old evangelism group, we always would review the Romans Road, which is a series of scripture from Romans that outlines mankind's depravity and how to be saved. And honestly, I suggest marking these verses in your Bible and memorizing them so that you can explain the gospel when you have the opportunity. And we're going to use God's words instead of our own words, because God's word is powerful. It accomplishes his purposes. It doesn't go forth void. So let's get into it. What is the Romans Road? Well, the first verse in the Romans Road is Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We're all sinners. There are no quote-unquote good people who live on planet Earth. No human being is righteous, according to Romans 3:10. Every person, other than Jesus, to ever walk the earth has fallen short of perfection, and that's God's standard. Romans 5:8 is the next verse on the Romans Road. It says, "But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God loved us when we were his enemies. And most people, they don't really try to show a lot of kindness to their enemies. But then you have Jesus, and he's at the clear opposite end of the spectrum. Because even when we were still sinners, God sent Jesus to die for us. He loved us that much. God made a way to reconcile us to himself by pouring out his wrath on Jesus instead of us. We deserve death because of our iniquities, but Jesus took our place. The next verse on the Romans Road is Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The penalty of sin is death. That's the paycheck we earn for our transgressions, and it equates to separation from God forever. Fortunately, God gave us a gift we could never repay by sending his Son so that we can receive eternal life. Ephesians 2:8-9. You're like, wait, Joanna, those verses, you just said Ephesians. Well, there's goodness outside of Romans, so we're going to include some of that today. Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." We can't save ourselves. We humans, we like to think of ourselves as independent. We don't need anybody else. We can do it all ourselves. You know, we are like, quote unquote, good people. However, God's standard is perfection, and no amount of good works we can do as humans can ever measure up to God's requirements. We can't brag about our actions and how good we are, or think we can save ourselves. Salvation is a gift, and it's from God. We're saved by grace through faith alone. The next verse is Romans 10:9-10, "That if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation." What we had to do is confess and believe Jesus to be saved. Our salvation includes both a verbal profession of Jesus as Lord and a heart belief that God raised Jesus from the dead. I don't know about you, but I've had times when I knew in my head that something was true, but it didn't feel right. Both our heads and our hearts must engage in requesting salvation. We need to have both a mental and spiritual agreement when we acknowledge we can't save ourselves, and thereby we receive the free gift of God when we ask for it. Romans 10:13 is just a summation of how we get saved once we have all these beliefs. It says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And salvation is made available for everyone. And that was really mind-blowing to the people of that time, because they were all about themselves and the Jews, and the salvation is for us. We're the chosen people. But God loved people so much that he sent his Son to die for everyone. Jesus didn't sacrifice himself for a few chosen people, but for everyone to roam the earth, past, present, and future. The new covenant he established was with all mankind, not just his children of Israel. He wants us Gentiles, too, to be saved. He wants not just Gentiles, though, but everyone, Jews and Greeks, to repent from their sins and come into a relationship with him. How about you? Have you ever admitted that you were a sinner and called on the name of the Lord to be saved? If not, what holds you back from receiving the gift of eternal life? Call upon the name of the Lord today and be saved. If you have a relationship with Christ, have you ever memorized the Romans Road? Having scripture in our spiritual backpack prepares us to share the gospel in all seasons. These verses show a logical progression of our sin that separates us from God and how he made a way by sending Jesus to take the punishment we deserve. When we confess our sins and call upon him, we will be saved. And let's go share that good news today. And I pray that the Lord will help you enjoy the gospel for yourself and that you'll spread it to your neighbors and your nations. Have a wonderful, blessed day.